Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. And for this show, we're going to talk about healing. Healing with the arts. It's really special. And I'm so excited about it because it's one of the oldest ways to heal in the world. And it's becoming more and more prevalent in hospitals and healing centers. So there's a great book on it called Healing with the Arts. And so we're fortunate to have one of the two authors of the book on the show, Dr. Michael Samuels. Michael, welcome.
Thank you.
So glad.
Happy to be here.
Yeah, I'm so glad you could. I'm very excited about this. At first, though, and I'm sure you get that a lot, there's resistance because we don't all think of ourselves as artists.
You know, there's resistance because we don't think of ourselves as artists and because people don't equate art and healing. But as you said, the first artist and the first healer were one person. And the making, there was no word for art and there was no word for healing. There was just the spiritual experience of creativity or channeling spirit or whatever you want to say, that was the first healing. And in most ancient times, it was probably dance, and the people danced in ceremony and probably saw their healing spirits come into their body and change them. And then it was probably all shamanic art from tribal cultures, indigenous cultures, ancestor figures, every one of the gods. This was real.
Right.
And now we're lucky enough that 50% of the cancer centers in the country now have artists. It permeates our entire culture. It's extremely exciting.
Well, evolutionary-wise, in the early cultures, they saw spirit in everything.
Everything was alive.
Right.
The wind was alive, the stones were alive, and especially animal spirits and ancestors. And if you look at shamanic art, what was art was transformative. It wasn't decorative, generally. And it was to bring spirit to you to heal. And in our book, we say it heals yourself, others, community, and the earth. Because it was always everything. Community was the culture and the group of people. It was also fertility. It was the plants. It was the hunt. And so the making of the ark tied them to the spiritual forces around them. We've lost track of this a little bit in our lives. Most people don't think everything around them is alive. But increasingly, as you know, people are contacting their ancestors, their spirits, their spirit guides, their spirit animals for intuitive healing.
And that's art is a direct,
clear doorway to spirit. That's what we found in our research in hospitals.
Right, and this is a lot what my show is about, is informing people who are waking up. This is a population that's really waking up now. And to remind people of the power, historical power of art, is really important. And you did a wonderful job in this book. I'm very inspired by it. As I went through it, and it's a 12-week program that you offer, but it's not rigid. And as I read the book, because I didn't do it over 12 weeks, I just did it over a week. I was continually inspired and hungry to participate, feeling, oh, what am I going to experience? Oh, this is great. Oh, I can do this, and I'm going to empower that. I'm going to empower this. It went on and on.
Yeah, the program came from university courses that Mary and I taught at San Francisco State and University of Florida. And we took the program, which was in hospitals and cancer centers that we'd both done for years, and turned it into 12 simple exercises to do it yourself. And what we found was the students, who were just ordinary people, would come to the class and we'd say to them, what do you need to heal? And then they'd dream and they'd vision and they'd see a child sexual abuse incident, their brother with cancer, a relationship with a grandmother, and then they'd paint, and the next thing you know, that whole aspect of their life was healed. And it was so transformative that the first time we taught it, we just couldn't believe how beautiful it was.
Right.
And how moving, and everyone sits and cries. So we said, this is for everyone. So that's our book. And one of the beauties of it is it's a self-help, do-it-yourself approach. It doesn't need an art therapist or a program in a hospital or in a veterans post-traumatic stress center. You can actually just sit down at home. And like you said, you can really do it shorter than 12 weeks. Right. I'm teaching it now in 3 weeks, a compressed version of the course at San Francisco State. And what I do is I have the people close their eyes and imagine the most passionate, beautiful art process they've ever done in their life. If they were a twirling ballet dancer as a little girl, if they were a photographer as a teenager, and then picture what they need to heal and then do it. And the beauty is it does itself. You actually don't have to do anything because the spirit heals you.
What I find is essential is to become inspired, and usually somebody needs to introduce it to you.
Yeah, it's the inspiration comes from the first stroke. If you're going to heal yourself from a rape with dance, and you raise your hand and move it over your head, your life has changed.
Well,
and we're introducing it through the book. When I teach it in the class or when it's in hospital programs, the artist comes in and says, I'm from arts and medicine. Would you like to dance? And everyone says no, because we're, as you said, the resistance is we're not an artist. And then they take a scarf and they move it and they're dancing. And a little child with leukemia in a room with the shades drawn suddenly becomes full of life. It's so beautiful.
But it's hard if you just give people a blank piece of paper and some crayons and say, become an artist. They don't know where to start. There's some guidance.
Yes.
Even I had Bernie Siegel on my show recently. And what he does is he makes suggestions of what people might draw.
Right.
And from that, then they reveal incredible deep issues in their lives and in their bodies.
Yeah, I've worked with Bernie for years. He's a dear friend. And we work a little differently. What we do basically is we have a person do a guided imagery. So each chapter has a guided imagery. And we say in the guided imagery, invite an image of what you need to heal in your life and invite a media. And then you start. And so in other words, what we'll do is we'll say, now relax. Now picture the inner artist that you have inside you. Picture him drawing, dancing, whatever, and then take a sheet of paper and draw what you saw in your imagery. So each week is one guided imagery and one art exercise. So we're actually informing people of what to draw, so they don't have a blank paper and are lost, but it comes from them. It comes deep from their soul, from their spirit guides, from their power animals. Because I bear dance with the Chumash Nation, and we believe in animal spirits. And so for me, you're never alone. You have your ancestor spirit guides, religious teachers, soul, waterfalls, and that's who sends you the images for the art.
It's really
your self-healing images.
It's really my owl that's talking to you on the show.
Exactly. It's my bear. So a bear talks to owls. Bears like owls a lot.
They're good.
The ancient Siberian shamanic animals. No, exactly, exactly. And we have like a woman in my class who in the first exercise saw that a reminder of a sexual abuse experience when she was 14, and she painted owls for 5 weeks. And now she devotes her whole life to art and healing. She's in the book as one of our living art and healing heroes. And she's on our website in videos. And her owl was in everything. She made owl bracelets, owl paintings. And the beauty for me is that in my deep belief in my soul, you don't have to heal yourself. The owl comes and heals you. So when the owl arrives in the painting, she's there for you. And so it's an incredibly spontaneous, joyful, but also dark, because you're facing the demons in your life, too, in the beginning.
Sure. Now, that said, I want to go over your 8 themes, because it starts off with where our darkness is. So
it starts in the darkness, partly because we're healing. So when we're not going up to a random population in the street necessarily. So when you come to the book for healing, you're carrying the darkness that needs to be healed. And if it's a newly diagnosed cancer, because as I said, there's art in half of the cancer centers in America right now, or if it's a child sexual abuse, or if it's post-traumatic stress as a veteran, or an elderly person with Alzheimer's who's forgetting, those are the first images. But the strangeness and the beauty is that these images transform. And the next piece of art is brighter, and the next piece of art is brighter because spirit is coming. But also you're trapped. You, with that first brushstroke, you're no longer worried about the darkness. You're moving energy. So you see in front of you color appear, and you say, oh my gosh, that's beautiful. Or you have a dance movement appear, and you're now elsewhere. The second step is going elsewhere. First is darkness. Second one's going elsewhere. Third one's making art. And these were found in a three-year study at University of Florida by Dr. Lane in the hospital on how art heals.
Right. So the second one is to be distracted by the art and say, oh, look at this. And then the third is actually immersing yourself into it.
Right. And there, again, what we always tell people is you don't have to do it. It does you.
Yeah.
So with that first brushstroke, you are in the art. And then generally what happens is, like a person in our class who's never written a poem finds that they can't even get up in the morning without writing a poem after the second one. It's like incredibly enticing because the artist within you is a lover, and the artist within you grabs you and spins you and puts you in places you may not have been since you're a little girl or something like that. And so you're there.
Right.
And then it throws you into spirit, into your own soul.
So
It's a remarkably similar process with each person. And even though the material's different, the process itself has correlates.
I was thinking for myself how each day I could take maybe 30 seconds to create some drawing, some symbol, some figure on a piece of paper and imbue that with my aspirations for the day.
Yeah, you can. When we teach it in class or in hospitals, we encourage people to have a journal, and it's just their art, intentional art and healing journal, and we tell them clearly that research in hospitals and universities and MIT has shown that art heals yourself, others, community, and the earth. So when you do it, it's powerful. That's number one.
You just
and
inspired
you are an
me.
Artist. You are an artist. You are a healer. You are an artist healer. Everyone
right.
is. That's number two. And number three, you just take your journal and do it. And exactly what you said, it can be 10 minutes. It can be one poem. It can be 5 minutes. But unfortunately, what happens is you get really excited. So that people say, oh, my gosh, I'm going to write 7 poems, Peter. It's like, and, you know, sometimes we have, the journals are colorful and full of things, but they're visited by spirit. The power animal appears, and that's why in our method we invite people to bring what I call populating their world, to bring ancestors, spirit animals, God, Jesus, waterfalls, nature spirits, whatever is going to feed you, Mother Earth, Father Sky, whatever in your spirituality. And it's completely non-denominational and doesn't even have to be spiritual, but spirit appears. And like once I did a workshop with 8 women with breast cancer, just making mandalas, 6 of them had angels in the mandalas. I don't know why this is, but it's really beautiful.
I'd like you to talk about your own healing path and what happened with how you brought your bear into this journey.
In my life, I've always, my father was a dentist, but he was also a photographer. My mother was a middle school teacher, but she was also a fiber artist. So there was always art around me. And when I was depressed in high school because I was trying to do work and get into medical school and college and all these things, I found that if I went out and took pictures, my whole reality was changed. And that was the beginning for me. And when I was a doctor on the Hopi Navajo Reservation after I became a physician, and it was very depressing. We were doing allopathic medicine. There was alcoholism and suicide. And I found that if I took pictures, I was taken away from that reality and I was in another reality. And that was the beginning. But later, people would ask me how I was working with guided imagery with cancer patients, chronic pain, and people with serious life crisis. And someone asked me how I did it. And I just said, I don't do it. There's a giant bear behind me. And I heard this voice come out of me. I didn't really know what it meant or where it was coming from. And that was the beginning of my bear journey. And then a Native American man gave me a bear skin. And I found a group of Indians who had bear dancing, which is one of the oldest healings. And it's completely art and healing. There's music on a drum. There's the bear skin, which is a costume. There's the words of the songs which are bringing bear spirit in. And the Indians stand around the circle and they release, in their story of what a bear healing is, they release this illness from their body. It goes to bear, not to me. I'm just carrying bear. And then an eagle wing swoops the illness off the bear into the fire and it goes to creator.
So that's powerful.
It's a psychological release, and right. they all know this story, and they but you don't really have to know the story. You just are there, and this happens. And people, like in the movies, they fall down on the ground and they spit up, and the next thing you know, chronic pain that's been there for 5 years is gone. Or people in wheelchairs even stand up. And it's pretty spacey stuff. As a physician, I was trained at NYU, the best schools. And as a physician, each day I do this, I'm shocked. I say, oh my gosh, we couldn't have healed this woman another way. This is spiritual, mind, body, spirit. This is the high technology of spirit. And as you started the show, it's the oldest healing and the newest healing at once. Both Mary and I, as authors of the book, are really passionate about this. And it's also, we say it's yourself, others, community, and the earth. Because right now, the revolution in Egypt, at Cairo, artists painting murals are a leading force in it. The revolution that was in Turkey was stopped, the bloodshed was stopped by one man doing performance art, the standing man. So it's really across our culture now.
And it shows, it shows the power of symbols, too.
Yeah, it brings, God speaks in symbols. Because he doesn't speak in words necessarily, and the words are poetic, so that when you make art, that's the fastest way to get to the symbols. We say it's a really quick doorway. It's a non-denominational, non-threatening doorway to spirit. You take out a pencil, a piece of paper, you say, what needs to be healed in my life, and your symbols appear. As Bernie Siegel says, they're just there. You just suddenly draw. Your owl flies into the painting and lands. And you look at her, and she's looking you right in the eye, and you say, what is this?
Yeah, actually, you might think you're drawing one thing, and something else shows up.
Yeah, and we don't, a little different than Bernie, we don't really do any interpretation.
Right.
There's
right.
no psychological diagnosis and no treatment. And our assumption is the flow of the creative art from you is what heals you, and it does it by itself. And the way it does it is first the dark images appear, and you face them. And then the images get brighter by themselves. And the new research at MIT on memory basically shows that when you stimulate the cells of the original traumatic vision and replace it with a new vision, your mind actually takes the old memory away and puts the new one in. So owl becomes your memory instead of trauma.
Uh-huh.
Because you've created the picture of owl. It's really the latest MRI technology, and as you said, the most ancient. But everyone, the book's an invitation for everyone to do it. You know, in our Healing with the Mind's Eye book, we say, please, you know, we invite you to have your healer within heal your life right now. Or the life of someone in your family, your grandmother, your racially prejudiced people or something.
Well, there's always people that we can identify as around us as limited.
Yes.
And we want to transform our world.
Yes. And it's a lot of the people that we do, like a woman in our class who saw herself sexually abused in a memory and then had her owl come. She's now working with abused women in community. She's making film of how women heals. So part of this process is you start with yourself. And then you take it out to community. Or you start with community. We've had people go into neonatal intensive care units, photograph the mother and father with a 2-pound baby, and write a love poem under it, and they make a picture and hang it next to the isolette. So they're starting healing someone else, which is mothers of premature babies in neonatal care, but it's actually deeply healing themselves.
Yes.
Because it turns out the woman who did that project, we call them projects, because in the 12 weeks, you actually choose an art media, and you actually choose something to heal, and you do it. There's no academia. There's nothing to memorize, nothing to learn, no doctrine, no dogma. It's just, as you say, you take your little book out, and for 5 minutes, you draw a picture.
And you find that freedom in yourself to release,
yes.
surrender, let go,
yeah.
and create.
Yeah, because you're going into an inner world that's infinite.
Right.
It's like the stars. It's much larger than the limited outer world that's around us. It is the world of spirit.
I have a new healing technique or healing program that I started a few months ago. I'm an intuitive, and this whole program just arrived in my consciousness, where people draw an 8-inch circle. It has to be 8 inches for some reason.
Right.
Within the circle, with the green felt-tip pen, they draw their birth date without slashes or dashes or and then for a prescribed 10 minutes in time, they put their left hand on that circle. At the same time, they've sent me their birth date. I put their birth date in my 8-inch circle with blue. And then during the same 10 minutes in time, I have my right hand on my circle with their birth date. They have their left hand on their circle.
Right.
And I'm right now working with hundreds of people at the same time with their birth dates. And I've had remarkable responses from people as to the healing that this is providing, because it's the birth date is the essence of who we are.
Right. And astrological. It's your astrological projection or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, it's our spiritual address. And it could very well be just really what you're talking about, is there's a spirit that goes into the purpose of this and the sense of how it works, that this is an essence. And so the love and the desire for healing pour into this.
Yeah, you're making, in my way of looking at it, you're like making a tunnel between them and you, where spirit and energy flows.
Yes.
And you're inviting it. You're doing it intentionally to invite them to do it. They're doing it intentionally. The two intentions match, and that creates this big spiritual energy.
Right. And it's so much in the way that you're talking about allowing form to inform us and to us to reform from that activity.
Well, one of the things that I feel is going on here is that if you tried to do this without the circle and the birth date in your hands, excuse me, it would be in your inner world, and it would be in one way. But as soon as you draw that circle, it crosses out into the material world, and it becomes embodied and much more real and touchable and feelable, and that really helps the energy. One of the things art making does is it takes spirit and makes it visible. So when you're dancing to heal a rape, you're now, you're every muscle in your body, every cell in your motor cortex, every cell your animal memories from the animal DNA are all like awakened. Whereas if you just do guided imagery or meditation, it's not as powerful.
Right. You're creating form.
Creating form.
Right. And the form informs. And it's beautiful to see how that enlivens spirit.
That may be the key to art, is you creating form. And we're all creators. We're hardwired from the moment we're born. If you watch a baby or child, they're making art right away. And they're doing it freely, probably to heal, to balance. They're probably doing it in the womb. They're hearing music, they're dancing, and this is what kind of creature we are. And our culture takes it away from us a little bit.
A lot. And we're bringing it back. And what I love about this is that the arts are all about form of music, form of dance, form of words. You use words a lot in the book, too, and you did a lot of personal healing with words.
Yeah, we say in the book that art is defined for us as visual arts, which is photography, painting, sculpture, film, and now with iPads and iPhones and everything, the film is tremendously pervasive. It's music either played, listened to, written on any instrument or Spotify lists or something like that. It's dance, which is moving your body, and it's word, and word is poetry, theater, interactive theater. So real, and then when they're all put together, in our culture it's called performance art. In ancient times it was called ceremony. So, and we're doing, as soon as you do this intentionally to heal, you're becoming an ancient ritual ceremonialist.
And yet it's interesting that we have art and we have spectators of art, and in the old days, everybody became the artist. There weren't just the people dancing and spectators. Everybody danced.
The original culture, everyone danced.
Right.
There wasn't even a specialist.
Well, true. Now there's much more criticism and judgment grading and value judgments. So it's we really have to get away from that and just pull our hearts into this. And that's what was inspiring about your book, is that I really felt spiritually drawn into it with joy and heartfulness. It was like, I got excited. I can't wait. I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And I think that's what's needed for us to use our art, is to be, to embody it and embrace it and hug it. And I love this. And I it's very powerful. We only have.
Sorry.
Well, I was almost like that this morning.
But yeah, anyway.
It's
you know, when you say it, my response is, the art loves you. And with that first stroke, something loves you that may not have loved you since you were a baby. And the first movement of a child with leukemia in a cancer unit with a scarf in their first dance, you can feel the... Before, they're depressed, their eyes are closed, the shades are drawn, everyone's afraid. They take a blue scarf and they move it over their head, and you watch their face light up,
yeah.
And you say, what is this? What is this? For me, the joy that you felt, I'm so happy that you felt it, because that's the way we feel when we do it and when we write the book.
Right,
we
exactly.
feel this, and it's, as you said, it's really important that it's non-judgmental. Because you're not trying to become a famous artist, be in a gallery, make money. It's the opposite. You're being your authentic self in total beauty.
And it's my personal relationship to it.
Yeah, and when you're seen, when a person in our class stands up and they start to dance to heal themselves from a rape, their beauty is so unbelievable. And I think, in my crazy world, I think it's also because all the healing spirits are around them. They're not alone. So you feel their seven generations back, seven generations forward, all of their ancestors helping them. And then they twirl and they spin and they get rid of, they throw off the rape and they bring in their soul and spirit.
That's,
and it's just so beautiful.
That's
so
powerful.
For us, the beauty itself of every act, of every person, of everyone we deal with, was so fantastic that we're very, very excited and happy all the time.
Well, Michael Samuels, I want to thank you so much for writing the book and for being a guest on Energy Stew. Healing with the Arts is the name of your book. And Mary Rockwood Lane is your co-author. And I really appreciate talking with you. And
thank you, Peter. We really appreciate talking with you. I enjoyed it very much.
Thank you. And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at Progressive Radio Network, PRN.FM. I can be reached at Peter at HeartRiver, HEART River.org, or 212-222-7748. Lots of classes going on, teleclasses, webcam classes, all kinds of opportunities. I'd love to hear from you and talk about healing. And please let me know. And thank you so much for listening. Thank you.